All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is former Congressman Marjorie Margolis. And it's Friday, so it's Sandy Williams is also here, and we'll just throw that in. Sandy is just here.
Yeah.
The
peanut gallery.
Yeah, I've got a great guest, Sandy. And so, how soon they forget. But anyway, I want to say you right now organizing to have women rescued out of Afghanistan with the Taliban and also Ukraine. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, interestingly, the Afghan problem has been taken off of the front page. Period. Which is just something that we have to deal with. We've had a program in Afghanistan since 2006, and the women there are just amazing. Well, they've been so marginalized now. I mean, the women we're working with are doctors and lawyers and teachers and everything like that, and now they're in hiding. We tried to get, and we got quite a few people out. We had two ministers, government ministers, who worked with us, in other words, helped with the paperwork and everything. It's so challenging there. One of them was just immediately killed by the Taliban. The other, who had six kids, we luckily got out. We're trying to figure out how we can get him into the United States, which, by the way, is a very different kind of equation. Most of the people who are leaving Ukraine, obviously, you know, are women and children. And they, for the most part, I would say 90%, although I don't know the percentage, they really want to stay in Europe because they want to go back to the Ukraine. Many of the people, I mean, for instance, in my former district, we had a huge number of Ukrainians. So a lot of them, and by the way, that's how these folks can get in. It's almost impossible if you don't have a relative here. But there are, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of people.
I have to ask you, because on yesterday, or the day before, President Biden has said they're going to allow 100,000 Ukrainians to come in. Do they have to have connection with family members, or are they anybody?
No. It's much more complicated than that. It really cuts down on the complication if you have either. I didn't know what this meant, so I'm just. This is. I feel like I'm teaching. If you have a biometric passport. That's an electronic passport, and you have a relative here, it really helps. It's very challenging if you don't. They're not just letting people come in without identification or.
Is that because of a fear that we'd be letting in unfriendly Russians rather than Ukraine? Why is the biometric passport a matter of import? The certainty of the identity.
We have a three-step program. We're trying to help these folks. By the way, it's much easier to get into Canada, and then the United States is saying that once you get there, it's going to be really hard to cross the borders and come into the United States. It has everything to do with numbers. It has everything to do with the amount of people who are trying to move around. And they're trying to put some kind of, organization to it, and it's just wildly challenging, as you can imagine. WCI has kind of a three-step program where we're trying to support the women evacuating, you know, identify them, figure out who they are, you know, obviously. The second one is to resettle them immediately, either in Germany or Poland. Right now, some are going north to Denmark and places like that, but very tough. And then our third stage is to do what we do. WCI, Women's Campaign International, does what we loosely speak. We use is empowerment training, and we try. We want to work with these women, some of whom are amazing, try and make sure that they understand how they can get their message across, their personal message across. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure that right now there is not an answer to your question, because we're just trying to figure it out.
You know, so you talked about amazing women. You're not making decisions based on the aptitude or the career path or any of those things. It's, you know, just about all women who are many, you know, average citizens who are facing the same pain.
Exactly. And it's crisis management. I mean, you see these people who really, you talk to them, and a month ago they were doing what we're doing. They were going to work. They were teaching. They were, you know, they were making sure that their kids were okay. And all of a sudden, their lives have been completely upended. Completely. I mean, there's nothing. It's just extraordinary. And some, you know, are tough, but some are more. Especially after COVID, we're coming close to the edge anyway. And this is just an extraordinary thing. We're trying hard, really hard, to find the right people who will work with some of these women who are having some emotional problems.
So how do you, two things. How do you find the people and the women in Ukraine that you're going to be working to help? And then how do you find these people who are going to be helping these women? Are the helpers Ukrainians as well, or are our foreign nationals going in under the auspices of WCI to help the women in Ukraine who need help? And then how do those women in Ukraine find WCI, or how does WCI find them?
Well, right. That's a great question. Right now, as I said before the break, we're trying to figure out how all of that comes down. Let me give you an example. I've been working. I went to Penn, and I've been working with University of Pennsylvania for years. And I teach there. Our new ambassador to Germany is Amy Gutman, who last year used to be the president of the University of Pennsylvania. So we are now, we'll go through the embassy. She's given us a person who's dealing with that on the ground. I just had to spend a huge amount of time this morning with a lawyer who just got back from Poland, Jonathan Ostroff is his name. And he is working, I can give you the names of the groups that we're working with on the ground. For years, we've been working with a woman who is from Albania, who is now in Germany. And she's directing us to the right, and we're just putting that together now. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on, but I can give you the names of some of the organizations that we're working with, but we're just trying to figure it out. And we are mainly trying to work with its triage. We're trying to work with the groups who know the most needy.
But it takes a tremendous amount of resources to do this. Where the resources coming from?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. First of all, we're very scrappy. We will send, when we can afford to, we will send our team there, the trainers. We train trainers. In other words, we go into a country, we've been doing this for a long time, and we work with the women who know how to create the ripple. So we will go in and sometimes it's legal literacy, sometimes it's financial literacy. We will go in and we do a lot of listening. We are not arrogant. We work with, you know, for instance, members of parliament, members of the embassy, groups that are on the ground and solid. And they will direct us to the people whom they think we can most help. Is that kind of answering your question? I mean, I can tell you some of the names of the...
No, you don't need to do that, but, the complexities of it in the middle of a war is, to me, I mean, to even try to envision making that happen.
What's your target in terms of numbers that you might be able to help in this regard? You've got women in Ukraine, obviously, in the midst of war, and what goes on in war is horrible, and particularly horrible for women. How many women do you think WCI will be able to assist in this process? And do most of them end up emigrating, or are you helping them in place, in situ?
Well, it's the range. It's such a great question, and a question I do not have an answer to. In a month, I will be able to tell you. Right now, we're trying to figure out what the numbers look like, where the need is, which groups are the most reliable, which is a huge problem, because some of the money that's just being dumped isn't getting to the women whom we want it to get to. So I can't give you a number, but it's going to be many, many, many thousands.
But there is, you know, the age-old problem of corruption in the old USSR countries exists in Ukraine as well, I suppose.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they see this money coming in. And I just spoke to somebody who said, oh, we just got a grant from Gates. I think it was between $13 and $14 million. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. You know, what we could do with something like that. You know, we just put our noses. We're having a fundraiser, Zoom fundraiser next Wednesday, and we hope that we'll raise something, and then we will know. I mean, we'll be able to get it on the ground to the right people, which is so frustrating to us, because some of these huge amounts just don't go to the right people.
So let me ask you, when you guys aren't new at this, you've certainly been in other theaters. What's so different about this one? The sheer size of it, or what?
Actually, that's a perfect question, because it changes with each venue. You go in thinking, oh, we know how to do this. We've done this before, and we don't. The size is different. The moving parts are different. The people on the ground are different. The needs are different from these women, you know, And the reaction, frankly, the international reaction is different.
Explain that.
Well, when we were talking about women from Afghanistan, the people from Afghanistan, look at what they look like. The people you see on television now look like us. So there's a very different kind of reaction. You know, you see these little kids in their...
Hang on, my friend. Man, I wish I had more time with you. But hang on, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We can always get you back at another time. We'll be right back. And to use me up.